Welcome once again to our program, Interpreting the Bible Through the Ages, and we've been especially focusing on the quest for the historical Jesus as compared to the Christ of faith. Many, many modern scholars saying they're two different persons, and unfortunately Pope Benedict XVI has reminded us from a Catholic understanding they are the same person. The historical Jesus in the four Gospels is also the Christ of faith. Our guest again is Ron Eldred, who does such a fine work in preparing these programs for us. He's the teacher, among other things, at John Paul II for the past 9 years, teaching religion and history, government, and apologetics, of course, too. Subs for many other things. I'm your host, Monsignor Larry Moran, Pastor Emeritus here at St. Patrick Catholic Church, where the Shamrock intersects the streets at 19th and Poplar. Ron, welcome once again. As we come to the conclusion, including times of our series, I believe this is the number 52 on our search for the historical Jesus against the Christ of faith. We're coming now to Catholic authors, and one, of course, very well known is Father Raymond Brown. So you want to, before we complete our series on interpreting the Bible through the ages, can we take a look at a few of these modern Catholic biblical scholars?
Well, there are many that we could look at, such as Father John Meyer, Father John McKenzie, Father Joseph Fitzmyer, and Father Raymond Brown. And we could add a lot of others to that list as well. All of these that I just mentioned are of a more liberal persuasion in regard to biblical interpretation. And also, we could look at several biblical scholars of a more conservative or traditional persuasion, such as Father William Most, Father Joseph Kurz, Luke Timothy Johnson, whom we've quoted several times during our series, Father Brian Harrison, who we've quoted at least three or four times, Father John McCarthy, whom we quoted, Father John Steinmuller, Mark Shea, we quoted him, Scott Hahn, Robert Sungenis, and we could add, you know, a lot of others to that list as well. However, for the sake of time and the fact that we have concentrated this series on biblical scholars who have influenced books and TV programs, and for this reason, I think that we should examine the work of, just focus on one of these, or liberal scholars who had such an influence on the mass media, Father Raymond Brown, because he has been such an influential biblical scholar. In fact, one American cardinal said at his funeral back a few years ago that he was, quote, the most distinguished and renowned Catholic biblical scholar to emerge in this country ever, end of quote. And he went on to say, and his death, the cardinal said, was, quote, a great loss to the church, end of quote. Personally, I don't think that he was the greatest, but was perhaps the most influential. I think that much of his influence was negative, in fact. I think that it harmed people's faith rather than enhanced it in a lot of occasions.
Well, okay. What can you tell us about Father Brown's background?
Raymond Edward Brown. He lived from 1928 until his death in 1998. He was an American biblical scholar and a Catholic priest belonging to the Sulpician order. In fact, a lot of the Sulpicians have been biblical scholars, especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
After receiving his BA at Catholic University in 1948, he got his doctorate at Johns Hopkins University under the direction of William Albright. Johns Hopkins, if I recall right, had a Protestant affiliation at one time, and William Albright, of course, was a famous Protestant biblical historian and archaeologist. He was just, well famous, actually. Albright was also the director of the American School of Oriental Research in Jerusalem, where he became known to the public for his role in the authentication of the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1948. They'd been discovered in 47, if I recall right, just the year before that. After teaching in a few schools, Brown became a professor at the Protestant Union Theological Seminary in New York. I might say the liberal Protestant Union Theological Seminary in New York, where he taught for 29 years. It's all important to know that background of his to understand his interpretations, I think. During his years there, he became one of the first Catholic scholars to apply historical analysis to the Bible. Recall from earlier sessions of this series, biblical criticism had developed among Protestants in the 19th century. And because of the radical findings of many of these scholars, the Catholic Church opposed this scholarship and essentially forbid it, especially Pope Leo XIII in his encyclical Providentissimus Deus in 1893. However, the Church issued guidelines by which Catholic scholars could investigate the Bible historically in Pope Pius XII's his encyclical Divino Afflante Spiritu. This was in 1943. He gave a kind of a qualified go-ahead to the use of the historical critical method of this encyclical. And Brown called this encyclical the Magna Carta of Biblical Progress. He felt vindicated when his method of higher criticism was supported for use by biblical scholars at Vatican II, especially in the document Dei Verbum. He served as president of the Catholic Biblical Association, the Society of Biblical Literature, and the Society of New Testament Studies. These are all the very top associations, professional organizations for biblical scholars.
Mm-hmm.
So he served as president at some time or another of all three of those organizations. He was also very active in the ecumenical movement, especially between Catholics and Protestants. He also served twice on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. The PBC was founded back during the time of Pope Leo XIII, if I recall right, and for years it was primarily made up of bishops and church scholars and people, mostly hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall which, I think it was Paul VI, if I recall right, Pope Paul VI, who changed the whole setup of it and made it still more of an unofficial rather than official biblical kind of watchdog over biblical scholarship in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
He made it more unofficial because it no longer had bishops on it. It was mostly biblical scholars.
Okay.
And it was after that time that Raymond Brown served on the commission, I think, twice, on two different times, if I recall right. Also, Father Joseph Fitzmyer, a colleague of his, also served on that commission at one time, too. And we mentioned his name a while ago, but we're not going to go into him, because a lot of his ideas are very similar to Father Raymond Brown. Because he became so highly regarded for his biblical scholarship, he was awarded 24 honorary doctoral degrees by universities in the United States and in Europe. Many of these were Protestant institutions. I think that it will become evident from our discussion why this work was so popular, why his work was so popular with Protestants.
Okay. Now, Ron, here's a tough question. Since he was so highly regarded by both Catholics and Protestants alike, why did you say Father Brown's work, your opinion, was harmful to many people's faith?
Numerous Orthodox scripture scholars and theologians have been critical of his work. I'm basically just following their lead.
Okay.
But I've also read quite a few of his books, too, and I agree with everything that they say. Among those critical of his work have been Cardinal Lawrence Joseph Sheehan, Monsignor George A. Kelly, Father William Most, Cardinal Hans Urs von Balthasar, one of the greatest names in theology, of course, of the 20th century, Father Neil McElney, Father Richard Gilsdorf, Father Rene Laurentine, Father Michael E. Geisler, Luke Timothy Johnson, who we've quoted on several occasions during our series, Father Emmanuel McGeans, Father Jerome Quinn, Father John McCarthy, Father Dennis McCarthy, Father Brian Harrison, Gerald Morrissey, and many others. Cardinal Sheehan, former Archbishop of Baltimore and head of Brown's own diocese, I might add, was critical of his pioneering role, quote, in a new Catholic theology founded on modern exegesis, I'm quoting from Sheehan, an article he wrote, that cast doubt on the historical accuracy of numerous articles of Catholic faith, end of quote. This is his own cardinal, his own bishop saying this, okay, back, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Father Dennis McCarthy, a professor at the Biblicon in Rome, wrote in 1979 that, quote, Brown operated out of a squirrel cage. That is, he ran around and around in circles, always returning to the same place, doubt, end of quote. And as we go along, I think we'll be able to illustrate that.
Okay, well, what is it about Brown scholarship that has aroused so much opposition from high placed Catholic churchmen?
Well, I might add that there's only certain scholars, and these are the more orthodox, traditional Catholic scholars that are very much opposed to his work. I would say that the great majority of Catholic scholars are all for it. In fact, they're in the same boat with him as far as the kind of scholarship that they're engaged in. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of priests who've gone through seminary have been taught this kind of biblical scholarship, which also includes, I think, quite a few bishops as far as that's concerned. But nonetheless, I read a book several years ago and have since reread it, entitled The New Biblical Theorist by Monsignor George A. Kelly, in which he looked carefully at Father Brown's contributions to biblical scholarship. I had also read his A Battle for the American Church and his Keeping the Church Catholic with John Paul II. Really very fine books.
This is Monsignor George Kelly?
Yes.
Okay.
In which he describes the rather successful attempt of the neo-modernists to take over the Catholic Church in the United States after Vatican II. He received his doctorate, Father Kelly received his doctorate from Catholic University and was the past president of the Fellowship of Catholic Scholars and is currently a research professor at the Institute for Advanced Studies in Catholic Doctrine at St. John's University in Jamaica, New York. He's considered one of the foremost analysts of contemporary American Catholicism. Cardinal John O'Connor said of him, quote, Never in the more than 20 years since I have first met Monsignor George A. Kelly have I met him without thanking God that this erudite, streetwise prelate is on the church's side. He has written a library-sized stack of books, each more provocative than the other, each bursting with dynamic orthodoxy from flyleaf to finale, end of quote. Monsignor Kelly shows in his book, The New Biblical Theorist, that Father Brown's interpretation of the Bible, and I'm quoting from him, quote, to be rather far from being in compliance with the requirements for sound Catholic exegesis laid down by Vatican II, end of quote. Then he goes on to substantially prove it. Although Father Brown has been criticized for many of his views on the life of Jesus, it was not his interpretation concerning the infancy narratives.
Pardon me, it was not?
Oh, yes, right. It was his interpretations concerning the infancy narratives of Saints Matthew and Luke that questioned the virginal conception of Jesus and the accounts of our Lord's birth and childhood that has received the most criticism.
Okay, so Monsignor George Kelly, who is of such high repute, as mentioned by Cardinal O'Connor, that he really had problems with the infancy narratives, which were quite popular, that Father Brown put out.
And a lot of other of these books as well.
Okay. Well, how did Monsignor Kelly come to write this book?
Well, that's really important to our story here. Father Kelly, or Monsignor Kelly, he tells us the story of how in 1970, Cardinal Cook of New York mailed a copy of Father Brown's Priest and Bishop, subtitled Biblical Reflections, to every New York priest free of charge. He said that his copy of the book lay unread on a table for many months until a troubled journalist visited him to say that this book had, quote, shaken his convictions about the truth of Catholicity, end of quote. Monsignor Kelly relates that halfway through the book, he understood the journalist's concern. What disturbed him was Father Brown's assertion that it could not be proven on historical grounds that, quote, Christ had instituted the priesthood or episcopacy as such, that is, you know, the office of bishop, that those who presided at the Eucharist were really priests.
It couldn't be proven.
Right, it couldn't be proven. Using the historical critical method, in other words.
Okay.
That a separate priesthood began with Christ, that couldn't be proven. That couldn't be proven from the Bible, in other words, the New Testament, that the early Christians looked upon the Eucharist as a sacrifice, that presbyter bishops are traceable in any way to the apostles, that Peter in his lifetime would be looked upon as the Bishop of Rome. Can't find that in the Bible, you know, according to Father Brown, and that bishops were successors of the apostles, end of quote. Now, those are all some fairly, those are really
foundation stones.
Right, these are foundation stones of the Catholic faith.
Okay, well then, I forgot, who's reading this? The bishop, Cardinal Cook is reading the book.
Yeah, Cardinal Cook.
When he got an inquiry from a journalist.
Cardinal Cook, of course, was the Cardinal of New York before Cardinal Connor.
Okay.
And Cardinal Cook sends this book out to all his priests. I don't know whether you read it or not, but nonetheless, somebody must have recommended it to him. Cardinal, all of our priests ought to read this, and you know, let's send out free copies to everybody. I don't know how it came about.
Okay.
But nonetheless, Father Kelly gets a hold of a copy of it,
right.
And a copy that was sent to him by Cardinal Cook. He doesn't get the chance to read it for a while, but then he doesn't read it until some journalist comes there and says, basically, hey, I just about lost my faith over this book.
Okay.
And so obviously that perked his interest, and so he read book, and this is what he finds. Monsignor Kelly says that Father Brown would call his statements nuanced. I've got that in quotes.
Okay.
That they were based on scientific study. But he passed them on to budding priest as true.
Or a budding priest is new priest.
Yeah, new priest.
Okay.
I can verify that Father Brown uses the word nuance, which means a subtle distinction many times in his book. I mean, I tell you, that book is sprinkled or peppered through his books more than any one word by far. Nuance. He just loves the word nuance, a subtle distinction.
Okay.
Monsignor tells us that, quote, a dozen years or so went by before Cardinal Ratzinger chastised those historical critics who read Scripture outside the church, but nuanced or not, those early rereadings disturb more than a well-educated Catholic journalist, end of quote.
And Cardinal Ratzinger said that?
No, this is, he's referring to the kind of thinking that Cardinal Ratzinger, of course, at the time was saying about the Bible.
About those who interpret the Bible
outside the church.
Outside the church,
yeah.
Okay.
He goes on to say, this is Father or Monsignor Kelly, he goes on to say that priest and bishop was troubling to him for another reason. In other words, this book that had been sent to him by Cardinal Cook.
Okay.
He describes how many other bishops besides Cardinal Cook were giving free copies of the book to their priests. And when an advanced copy of the book reached one prominent archbishop, he says the carload of books would arrive later, he turned it over to his staff for analysis. And Monsignor Kelly then states that, quote, the subsequent line-by-line critique of priest and bishop was sent to Baltimore's Lawrence Cardinal Sheehan, Brown's bishop. In due course, it was Cardinal Sheehan who challenged the Sulpicians' biblical readings both on the episcopacy and the priesthood. I'm still quoting from Father Kelly. In what became the first post-Vatican II critique by a bishop of a theologian, Sheehan had a question of his own to counter Brown's speculations. Sheehan specifically challenged Brown's assertion that the Holy Spirit, not Christ, guided the creation of the episcopacy, priesthood, and Eucharistic sacrifice. End of quote. What he's really saying there is that when you read Brown's books, he will say in his nuanced way his distinction way, fine distinction way, that the Bible, using the historical critical method, we can't find that Jesus actually did these things, that he actually did institute the Eucharist, that he actually did institute a priesthood, that he actually did institute an episcopacy or bishops. But it's only in the later church, this is sort of like the Christ of faith we've been talking about, it's only in the later church, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that these kind of things began to develop. In other words, Jesus himself didn't institute them, but later on his church began to gradually institute these things under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that's really what Father Kelly is, and I know I've read it.
Well, now, pardon me, Father Kelly, Monsignor Kelly, George Kelly, is saying this is what Father Brown is saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that Jesus didn't do it. It only later came with the Holy Spirit.
Only the Holy Spirit came along and did it.
All
later.
Right. Well, I'm glad to know that, because I've heard that discussion off and on.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad to know what the heart of the matter is.
And I know that Father Kelly's right, because I was inspired, if you want to use that word, to sit out and read about a half a dozen, I even have more than that, of Father Brown's books, and he's right. I mean, that's exactly what Father Brown says time and time and time and time again.
Okay.
Monsignor Kelly says that, quote, the cardinal asked Brown, where was the influence of the Holy Spirit when the original traditions were being formed among the early Christians, when the Gospels and other works of the New Testament were being written, when the canon of the New Testament was being formed, when the general councils, including Trent, Vatican I and II, were making their decisions for the church. This is Father Sheehan, Brown's own bishop, is asking Brown these questions in an article.
Okay.
I have a copy of the article.
Oh, really?
After describing how some prominent biblical scholars of a more traditional persuasion, such as the famous Father Manuel McGeans, who was denied tenure at Catholic University because he refused to accept the historical critical method, and after observing that many other prominent biblical scholars were afraid to criticize the use of the historical critical method for fear of reprisal from the American biblical establishment, Monsignor Kelly says that, quote, something had to be done to offset the new biblical theories. Guesswork with footnotes. Kelly calls it, a lot of these theories. Guesswork with footnotes. If you read any of these books like Father Brown's, you'll find they have ample footnotes at the bottom. That's what it's referring to.
Boy, a powerful phrase. I never heard that. Guesswork with footnotes.
Yes. He goes on, quoting him further, many Catholics doubt that their church had a valid historical base or could be considered a credible voice of Christ, end of quote.
So the doubt.
Yes, that's where it comes, everything comes back to doubt.
Okay.
Monsignor Kelly tells us that, quote, at some point a seminary professor suggested to me, that if I wanted to appreciate what was wrong with contemporary Catholic theology, I should read everything ever written by Father Raymond Brown, SS. I did, and the end result was The New Biblical Theorist.
That he himself wrote, Monsignor Kelly.
Yes.
Okay.
He says that, quote, the book did not appear without wide consultation. Rene Laurentine told me in advance that such a book would raise the questions that needed raising. A member of the International Theological Commission added, quote, I am happy that you will publish a study of the biblical positions of R.E. Brown. Kelly tells us that Hans Urs von Balthasar, who was made a cardinal, of course, by John Paul II, later told him, quote, it was the best thing that I had done, end of quote. And of course, Father Kelly had written many, many books, of course, looking at especially the church after Vatican II and how the more progressive area of the church took it over, not tried to take it over, but took it over, at least in this country.
Now, say that again. I missed that, Ron. Who took over in this country?
A lot of the liberals took over some of the institutions of the church in this country.
Okay.
And that's what these books that Father Kelly wrote about.
Education.
The Battle for the American Church, for
okay,
example.
And that was the
very
heart.
Well-known book. This is a book that really circulated around very heavily back, and I remember in the 70s when it first came out.
Okay. All right. What is it then about Father Brown's books that are so disturbing.
Monsignor Kelly identifies a rather long list of Father Brown's so-called scientific conclusions of historical criticism about the origins of Catholicity, based on what Father Brown called his detective work. And Father Kelly list includes the following. The stories of Christ's birth are dubious history. Early Christians understand themselves as renewed Israel, not immediately as a new Israel. We must nuance any statement which would have the historical Jesus institute the church or the priesthood at the Last Supper.
Wow, wow, that's a tough one.
In the New Testament, we are never told that the Eucharistic power was passed from the 12 to the missionary apostles or to presbyter bishops. Only in the 3rd or 4th century can one take for granted that when priests are mentioned, ministers of the Eucharist are meant. Not when the Bible is written, but 2-3 centuries later can we be sure when they were really priests.
Oh, okay.
The 12 were neither missionaries nor bishops. Sacramental powers were given to the Christian community in the persons of the 12.
That's being questioned.
Yes, that's being questioned.
Okay.
Presbyter bishops described in the New Testament are not traceable in any way to the successors of the 12.
So bishops who are ordained priests cannot be traceable back to the 12, which the church has always held.
You can't trace any apostolic succession.
Okay.
The episcopate gradually emerged, but can be defended as divinely established by Christ only if one says it emerged under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, not because Jesus, you see, instituted it.
Okay.
Peter Nett cannot be looked upon as the bishop of the early Roman church community. Succession to his church fell to the Bishop of Rome, the city where Peter died. However, that concentration of authority produces, says Brown, quote, difficulties such as those that we are now encountering within Catholicism. Vatican II was biblically naive when it called Catholic bishops successors of the apostles. He's quoting. These are quotes he's taken from Brown's different books, and not out of context either.
Now, pardon me. Who Monsignor Kelly is summarizing after we read all Brown's books.
The quotes he's gotten out of different Brown's books.
And these are the things he lifted out of his books.
Yes.
All right.
It is dangerous to assume that second century structures existed in the first century. And then the last one, doctrinal differences and tensions which existed between the early church of Peter and the church of the beloved disciple is normal for the church. That's a whole subject that we could spend a good session or two on.
Okay.
Well, to those identified by Monsignor Kelly in Priest and Bishop, he added many more from other books, such as the questioning of the virginal conception and the bodily resurrection and the virginal conception and the bodily resurrection of Jesus. That's the name of the book that he wrote, which I just read not too long ago.
Oh, okay. So he questioned the virginal conception and the bodily resurrection of Jesus by two different books that he wrote.
Yeah, that's probably we probably ought to wait till our next session, because I think we're beginning to get pretty close to the time running up, because we need to say a little bit more about that particular issue.
All right. Since our time is almost over, thanks to our guest, Ron Eldren, professor and teacher at John Paul II Catholic High, and to our listening audience, we say, may God bless you all, always, and in all ways.